comparison to the kind of dollars we're putting out. But I also say, under 8, we eliminated 200 positions under a budget issue a couple of months ago, and we're going to save some money here, and then we're going to pad the staff budget again by an additional $4 million. These things don't reconcile to me. And I know somebody's going to sit there, oh no, but they're to do our 3010. Well, we haven't been approved for 3010. And we are putting in budget positions for 3010 with some kind of specialty thing that they need to be done. And believe me, I will discuss it under number 8. But I just say to staff, I don't understand. And I know, I just think there's a terribly insensitive approach to this whole thing. You're asking us, you know, on one hand, please cut out all of these service lines because we need to save money. But on the other hand, I need to hire all of these people, and I need to raise salaries, by the way. I need to give 17% salary increases to attract the right people. I just think that that it is pretty ruthless in its approach.
Okay.
Mr. Leahy, I'd like Mr. Leahy to respond to it.
Well, can he respond under item 8? I mean, we're not voting on item 8 right now. We're voting.
And I'm not asking him to respond to it. I'm responding to the.
You're asking me to respond.
You're cutting on one end, you're increasing on another. I think it's a fair question to the CEO.
I think it's absolutely fair, but I think it's more fair under item 8.
I'll ask him again under an item 8.
So we get to do it again. That's what I'm saying. You're going to ask him the same question twice?
I think I'm entitled to ask my question, Supervisor Kanabe.
You're very entitled.
Thank you.
And as chair, I also think it's appropriate for me to say it's just as appropriate under item 8.
Which is fine. And you can tell me and you can rule against me if I'm asking a question. If you want to comment that I'm not entitled to ask it, that's fine. But I'm still asking
the
question.
I did not say you were not entitled. Mr. Leahy?
As regards the service cuts, there's I think, an important distinction to make. If we look at the history of transportation in Los Angeles over the past couple of decades, we see a very different environment. We see the munis, the other carriers, providing much more service than was the case back in the 80s. We see the addition of Metrolink and the MTA rail lines. So a very different context for evaluating services. Now, the reason for the reductions which are being recommended, the rationale in favor of the reduction is not economic. It is based on a performance analysis of those lines and an attempt to rationalize the service. Now, that activity is ongoing. Schedules are always being adjusted and resources reallocated based on shifts in ridership. So that's the fundamental rationale, even if there weren't a budget issue. But in fact, there is a budget issue, and in fact, the savings that will be derived from these economies and these efficiencies will be very important. I would like to also add, there's a parallel development going on within transportation with Roman Alarcon and Lonnie, and that is to build up the supervisorial functions so that we can improve real-time service management. So the parallel, seemingly incompatible goals are, on the one hand, is to rationalize and make efficient the size of the system, but on the other hand, is to improve the management of the system by getting better real-time service management. I would just note for you in closing that, in my estimation, over the past many years, the goal, the purpose of operations has been to increase, to do more and more and more with inadequate focus on doing it better. So we want to do it better at the same time as we're rationalizing the size of the system.
Can I just ask for one clarification?
Sure.
You said it's not economic. I thought it was part of the budget.
No, it is. The rationale for the reductions is based on analysis of the utilization of the system. There is an economic benefit to it.
But it's also part of a requirement.
Right.
Okay, just I think you said it differently. Okay.
Okay. Mr. Fasano?
Yes, I want to comment on a few things. One of the speakers mentioned that as a taxpayer, he deserves good service, and I think Mr. Leahy's also indicated that there are initiatives to improve the level of service that we're getting for each dollar spent, but the reality is we're providing $4 of service for every dollar spent in the fare box. So I think it's important to point that out, and we're having trouble coming up with the other three is another situation that we're facing in addition to the dollar fare that the rider puts in. We have a shortfall in the three. Another issue, you know, in terms of Supervisor Molina's comments on Measure R in our capital program, the operations, there is a huge gap, and I think Measure R really dealt with the capital side, and we haven't figured out the longer-term operating implications of bringing all the service on, so we have a lot of work to do in that sense. I am supporting these adjustments. I'm saying I don't really like them because I know they are making adjustments in terms of the quality for some of the ridership, in terms of some of the distances that people have to do. And the reality is that when we cut this 5%, there will be a new lower 5% that we may be asked to look at next time, given the realities of the budget. I also recognize, though, that we have service sectors and governance councils out there that have looked at the service more closely, and given the choices that have been presented to them, I think they've come up with reasonable options in terms of where to go. So it's a difficult choice. I will support it. At the same time, it is going to create some inconvenience out there. There's no doubt about it. In terms of item 8, I know you want that addressed later. There are linkages. There also are needs to structure the organization to reflect what the needs of the organization are. So I know that that's part of what's behind 8 as well.
Okay. Any other comment? Mr. Katz?
Mr. Chairman, I generally support, you know, the comments that the board has made. They're tough decisions, and I have voted to support these in the past. I would like to ask that I've got a bunch of confusing information on line 168, which is the line in the valley, and I'd asked, I talked with Mr. Leahy. I don't want to micromanage those decisions at the board level. I would like to get some more information, and if we could take that one line and put it on next month's agenda, I would appreciate that, just to get a little more time. But, you know, I support everything else going forward, and, you know, I just want to see this. I want to get a little information and then move forward.
We can do that.
Okay. And then you'll report back on my Westchester. Okay, the item is before us. Director Katz, you identified the line?
Line 168.
168 has been pulled until next month. The remaining program is before us.
And Don, I want to clear, I'm not looking to
remove it and protect it in the future.
Oh, I
want to have some more information on it before we go forward. That's all.
Okay. The item is before us. It's been moved and seconded. Any objections? So ordered. Okay. Next is item number 2.
Mr. Chair, let me just open this up for a comment, then we'll have a staff report. We are recommending that that the board vote to agree with goals that are being offered by the California Air Resources Board for emissions reductions. This is all stems from the passage a few years ago of SB 375. These goals are being supported by Sacramento, by San Francisco, by San Bernardino, and by San Diego. I think it would be the most prudent course of action is for us to approve them as well and then work with our partners, SCAG and others, to do what we can. I think this puts us in a better position to continue to seek funding for our various projects and for being a participant in the dialogue with the state. Martha?
I would like to just introduce Sarah Jepson of the planning staff, who will give you a brief report.
Okay. As Mr. Leahy mentioned, the ARB has released draft greenhouse gas emission targets pursuant to SB 375 for the state of California. And for Southern California, they've recommended an 8% per capita reduction by 2020 and 13% by 2035. ARB has the sole discretion to adopt these targets under SB 375. Staff has recommended support of these targets to recognize the significant steps that we've taken as an agency to implement SB 375 and to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and our commitment to continue to work with the region and the subregions and the cities to achieve the goals of SB 375.
Okay. Let's see. I know there's conversation on this. If you start punching your buttons, please.
Today. So whatever action.
Supervisor Antonovich, and then Director Fasano.
I find what's a little strange about this is that we're asking for a higher level than that is recommended by SCAG. This had a great deal of discussion at SCAG's last meeting, and they voted the lower reason because it's going to have a detrimental impact on our region.
I'm thinking about myself. I don't want to get lost.
So,
get lost, maybe. Walk too slow.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would oppose the proposed recommendation and move that we would adopt this model as it passed by the SCAG last month.
I'll second.
Okay. Substitute motion to accept SCAG's recommendation. Mr. Fasano, did you want to...
Yes, I do. And I'm speaking really as one that was actually amenable, recognizing as a stretch goal, extremely difficult to achieve to go to the 8 to 13. I understand what the CEO is saying in terms of trying to be on the same page as Sacramento and some of these other regions. I think if we move away from the SCAG position, we're going to have a bigger problem with our local partners at the city and the sub-regional level. A lot of these jurisdictions were quite concerned even about the SCAG compromise level. They're not anywhere as a consensus body near the 8 and 13. They're more comfortable, I think, with the 6 and 8, at least collectively. They have taken that position. It was extremely controversial from everything I've heard there. And while I individually would support the stretch goal, I will also say there's a lot of concern with the cities I represent about Metro expanding its role into areas that would affect land use and planning among the local jurisdictions. And by taking a position counter to SCAG, I think they're going to have that concern. Frankly, it's a whole other discussion if we want to go there. I think the feeling of a lot of the jurisdictions I represent is that SCAG is a more representative body from a land use and a representation standpoint than this body is. So I would ask for now, so that we can keep our local coalition focused on 3010 and some of the things we need to do at the federal level, to let SCAG at this point be the lead on the 6 and 8, and if we do other things down the road that allow us to move to 8 to 13, see what SCAG can do, and I'll be there.
Okay. Director DuBois. Your mic's not on.
My mic's not on, and that sometimes makes it better. Okay. I heartily support the motion to move forward with the SCAG recommendation, although it was pointed out by Mr. Taylor when we had a sustainability committee meeting that only one sub-region moved forward rather than going in the pool with the SCAG folks to do a white paper. The Gateway Cities did do that. But the Gateway Cities did not control the vote, and the vote was in favor of the 6 and 8% of the, and that's the individual folks that are with SCAG. So, having said that, and knowing that the 8 and 13% is more than the stretch, it's perhaps undoable. I would ask that you support what SCAG has recommended rather than what CARB has recommended. Thank you.
SCAG must be shocked.
I'm sure they are.
Director Katz.
I guess I find myself coming down on the side of the targets in cleaner air, having sat through a year of the RTAC, which was the advisory group to the ARB on putting the methodologies together and the targets together and the recommendations that ARB is now taken back out for public comment. I'm troubled because I remember some of the research said that 7% is going to be achieved over the course of time, even if we do nothing. I mean, 6 and 8 you do in your sleep, basically. And, last time I checked, air quality here, an improvement for us is being better than Houston, which is still the worst in the country, So our improvements seem to be about arguing whether we're the worst or second to worst in the country. It's not like we're in the middle of the country, the top of the country, and any of that stuff. So the SBC 375 process, I don't think is ideal. I think that it's the way it's set up with an alternative planning process in case you don't meet the target, sort of builds in failure to an extent. I'd much prefer that SB 375 had targets and then incentives to go above and beyond those targets, because I really think we need to be doing more. So I'm concerned that, by doing even less, that we basically are maintaining the status quo. And, for those of you who didn't see the most recent study, there was a joint study by UCLA and USC that pointed out that children, particularly children who live near freeways, don't just suffer from what we all knew, which was respiratory illnesses and asthma as a result of the air quality and the problems on the highways and the number of vehicle mile traveled, but they're now showing signs of hardening of the arteries in elementary school kids because of all those same particulates in the air. And I guess if it's a joint study by UCLA and USC, it's harder for anybody up here to discredit it. It covers both universities. That's significant. That's important. And I would ask for a no vote on the substitute and like to go back to the staff recommendation, but speaking for me.
Okay, Director O'Connor.
Oh, just to put a little bit in context, the SCAG vote, the vote at SCAG was 29 to 21. So clearly there was not an overwhelming majority on lowering the threshold votes. And my cities, the West Side cities and the South Bay cities, they support the recommended targets in the staff recommendation. And in terms of working with SCAG, I think it's really good that we have a partnership that we, as our County Transportation Commission, regardless of what the vote is on this, are continuing to have a strong working relationship with SCAG. But yet, in the end, we always feed into the SCAG process. It's a bottoms up, and within SCAG, there are six counties, multiple transportation commissions. So we want to influence them, not say, well, SCAG says we should do it. When the regional transportation plan is done by SCAG, we want to be the ones saying, this is what our county needs. We don't want SCAG coming to tell us what we need. So while I respect the regional council, I participate in it, I do see that we, as our county's transportation commission, can take a leadership role. Something that Board Member Katz said about the way about building and failure. You know, that's always a struggle when you set goals. You know, are you going to set goals such that you can achieve them? And then, of course, you look like you're a star. Wow, we achieved them. It's easy. Are you going to say, hey, these are ambitious goals. Yes, they're stretch goals. These are ambitious goals. We're going to do our best to reach them, and that's what's expected of us. And I will share, which I don't often do, but I will pass around here. And folks can get this on the web. This was just released. It's our City of Santa Monica Sustainable City Plan report card, something that we've been doing for 16 years. It's evolved. The areas have evolved. We've set stretch goals. You'll see. We get grades of C. We in our level of effort, we do really good, but we get grades of C in some areas and maybe D because, again, we're not saying we're failing. We're saying we have something to achieve. This is how we're performing. Here, it helps us identify what the obstacles are, and then that helps us find ways around it. So, frankly, I think the substitute motion, I'm going to vote no on the substitute motion. I would hope the main motion passes, but it could be we just make no recommendation on this.
Okay. Mr. Najarian.
Just a question for Mr. Leahy or staff. What are the penalties if we do not attain the higher goals that we set, if any?
If we're not able to achieve the goals through the sustainable community strategy, what will happen is the region will develop an alternative planning strategy. And that strategy is not fiscally constrained, but it would show how we would achieve the target if we had the funding to do so.
Answers nothing, actually, I think. In terms, there's no penalty, there's no dollar
skimmy,
penalty.
Skimmy.
I think that's the technically correct answer. Realistically, going ahead a year or two, when the legislature, let's assume the SB 375 is still in effect, when they look at what's going on here and they find that we're not seeking to achieve that which we've been directed to achieve, I think then there will be discussions about penalties. And possibly that could jeopardize funding or other things. Again, a few years off. The goals are for 2020
and 2035.
Right. So we have time to work on this. Clearly the board will give us direction on this, but we really need to be part of the discussion in Sacramento in a constructive fashion if we're going to preserve our ability to compete for funding up there.
Thank you.
Dr. Ridley-Thomas.
I mean, I was conflicted also.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a matter of record that the debates in the legislature on matters broadly applicable to this issue, not simply SB 375, but predecessor legislation, AB 32, I've been on record supporting it and co-authoring and the like, and I think it's a good thing. Metro demonstrate leadership. The staff recommendation, I would think, is consistent with that, and I would trust this would be disposed of accordingly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director Ridley Thomas. My comments would be we're sort of putting MTA out in front of local government. This is really a local government. Our board hasn't taken a position yet, and you know, this is really a land, you know, land use kind of an issue. The other thing that you're asking for a decision from this board to take a position on this, when in fact CARB is meeting today to take the action to approve the recommendation. So it's really sort of after the fact, you know, kind of a situation. I mean, I guess have we really analyzed their methodology as to how they set this up? And
I think it's fairest to say that they, with the recommendations from the Regional Targets Advisory Committee, which some of us sat on for a long time, the goal in Sacramento is to set goals which are very difficult to achieve in order to create a higher level of focus and stretch to achieve those goals. The discussion on methodology can go on almost to an endless level. I think here the fact is that they're going to very likely mandate these goals, and it will be under the gun to try to achieve those goals, working with SCAG. SCAG, of course, will be in the lead with the subregions. For many of the subregions, the MTA projects in Measure R will be a major part of the response to SB 375.
Okay. All right. The a substitute motion before us to support the SCAG recommendation. If they'll clear the board, we'll go ahead and vote on that. Are you ready to vote? This is a vote on the SCAG. The lower.
Machine's on out there.
Is it on now?
Second.
Okay, clear the board. The item before us now is the main recommendation. Clear the. Can you clear the machine?
Mr. Chair, can I make a statement before we do that? And I understand we have the motion and we have the votes, which doesn't surprise me. But I would ask you to consider the fact that, as the chairman said, we are not a land use agency. And I'm not sure that a transportation agency should be supporting something that is based on land use, not on transportation.
Well, we're just sort of getting ourselves out of here, but that's okay. That's what public agencies do.
Well, but also, yes. Too, I'm not sure that's, I mean, I think that that's partially accurate in the sense that SB 375 is all about vehicle miles traveled reduction. The whole bill talks about VMT reduction. Now, part of that is a land use strategy, but part of that is also a transit strategy. It's also, you know, it's buses, it's trains, it's rail, if you're going to reduce VMTs. So since the bill is built around and the targets of the bill are designed to reduce vehicle miles traveled, I think we do have, a say in influence on that, or at least we're part of the solution. We're the main part of the solution, or the main funder of the solution.
All right, go ahead and cast your vote. The main motion is before us, the staff recommendation. Everybody in, Supervisor Molina? Uh-oh.
She's going to vote no.
And they were both pushing the same button. All right, well, go ahead and... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, item passes. All right, next is go to item number 6. Somebody, it was not held by a member. Uh, Okay, Eric Roman, Arnold Sachs, John Walsh, and Kimberly Richards. Yeah, have some order here, please. Go ahead.
Good morning, members of the board. Eric Roman again from the Bus Riders Union. You know, we've said before, we've tried our best to follow decorum at these meetings, and at the same time, we can't accept a policy that allows you to, at your discretion, bar people from public meetings where critical public policy decisions are being made. You know, we insist that these meetings be open to everyone, and that the public be allowed to speak, and that the board not be given the discretion to bar people based on behavior that you deem inappropriate. I understand some of the concerns from where this measure comes from, but nonetheless, we would encourage the board to reject it and to pursue a different path. And you know, we have basically serious civil liberties and First Amendment concerns about this. And if you did pass it, we would be forced to explore challenging it in some way.
Okay.
To ensure that our right to public participation is maintained and preserved. Thank you.
So that you understand, it's not barring people from a meeting. They can be at the meeting, but it will just create a do not speak list. Okay? I know everybody wants to be thrown out or arrested, some of you folks, but that's not the intent. We want the people here to listen. So we're just trying to add some decorum to the meeting and to create a do not speak list. And that's, but not eliminating, you can still come to the meetings. If that were to happen. The whole point being is it doesn't need to be implemented if everyone's on good behavior. Mr. Sachs.
Thank you. If you don't want them to speak, maybe get them to use your mics. The decorum that you request, I believe Supervisor Dubois brought that up at a meeting. And I retort with that it would be nice if you had the same sense of empathy for the public. The meeting's supposed to start at 9:30. We brought this point up numerous times.
Try very hard.
You know, 1-800-COMMUTE. You tell them when you want to start, when you need to be there, and they will give you a route via Metro. That's the information we get when we call 1-800-COMMUTE. Call us up. We'll plan your route. Go Metro. Smiling women on a subway billboard. I go Metro all the time. Gets me where I want to go, when I want to get there, and how I want to get there on time. 1-800-COMMUTE, 9:30. For the public, you ask.
Thank you.
We should get also.
Walsh, then Kimberly Richards.
John Walsh, blogging at Hollywood Highlands, highlands.org, and also email. We're getting some documents from whistleblowers here in the building who are listening on the intercom, and that's HollywoodDems, D-E-M-S, @gmail.com. Well, this is known as the John Walsh New Code. You know, if I speak in Spanish, you have a translator. When I speak in an African language, you threaten to throw me out of the meeting. Maybe you could have Mark Ridley Thomas throw me out. That's how much he cares about the African language I spoke in.
Mr. Walsh, address the item, please.
Be very careful, Mr. Walsh.
Oh, what? Be very careful?
Yes, at all times.
Tonight's the thing. Find out what it means.
It means you should be very careful.
Nice to me. Is he here? Tell him what tonight's feeling means after the meeting. Okay, let me tell you, as I said, I'm a Jew, and this is
Kimberly Richards.
I have 3 seconds. He stole from me, don't I?
Kimberly Richards.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kimberly Richards, Metro San Fernando Valley Governance Council member, and someone who can tell hypocrisy when they hear it. Oh, we've always complied with decorum. Anybody remember that meeting we lived through where you had to adjourn to the back room and we had to try and coordinate public comment out here and people had to be arrested? Oh, yeah. And all that chanting every time they don't get their way? That's the gist of this. This is a governmental proceeding. This is a governmental body. There is decorum. Something that very few people notice is that every time I approach this podium to address you, the first words out of my mouth is, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why? Because that's decorum. That's what the gist of this motion is. If people don't know how to behave at this meeting, there shall be rules to show them how to behave. I'm sorry it came to this. They should have been able to figure it out on their own. But I support this item.
Thank you. That's the last public testimony. The chair will move the item. Is there a second? Without objection, so ordered. All right, item 8.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a few comments, then turn it over to Mr. Taylor. What you have before you is a report on organizational structure and a request for some positions. What we confront here is a very large capital program around 30 highway, major highway and transit rail projects, in addition to the normal flow of work at the MTA. What this report really contemplates is, at the executive level, as regards the delivery of the capital program, there would be four major components. One is planning, one is highway construction, one is rail construction, transit, and then a program oversight office. The purpose of the program management oversight office is to provide oversight, coordination, communication amongst the various project offices, but also as regards the two construction authority projects. These are very important. The positions which are being requested are on the list because we think they are necessary at the current time for the purposes of delivery of the Measure R program. That's where this is different from what we did a few months ago when we eliminated other positions that were unrelated to this request. So with that, let me turn it over to Mr. Taylor to amplify.
Okay. Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make a very brief presentation. As the CEO reported, we've spent the last year and we continue to reposition and shift staff resources for managing operations better and for delivering projects under Measure R. Under the latter project delivery, we have received reports from both outside consultants and the Federal Transit Administration that we need to redefine the skill sets and strengthen them within our organization for delivering transit and highway projects. Therefore, we are recommending that the planning department, which is responsible for moving 9 transit and 16 highway projects toward construction, have an addition of 4 positions for the remainder of the fiscal year. The transit project delivery department, which is responsible for designing and constructing 3 projects at this very moment, we're recommending 5 additional positions for the fiscal year. The highway project delivery department, which where progress requires highway expertise, we're recommending additional positions, two of those this fiscal year to provide that expertise, as well as an equity adjustment for the executive director of highway project delivery. In procurement, we are seeking 5 new positions to support new projects, people with expertise in administering contracts for transit and highway project delivery, and 1 position in the ADA compliance area because of more demands by these projects for input on ADA, and then, as the CEO mentioned, an additional executive to oversee project management oversight, where we have been advised by both the GAO and the Federal Transit Administration that we need to do a better job of this. And I think the record of this agency in the past year or two alone with regard to TAP, with regard to the BRADA cars, and with regard to the exposition, to oversight of the exposition light rail project indicates that the necessity for this effort. For setting this up. So with that, I completes my report, and I ask for your consideration.
The item is before us. Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I submit for the board's consideration an amendment to item 8. It essentially seeks to cause the authority to recognize, given how much is at stake at the legislative level, that we need coordination that is currently not in place. And so I wish to suggest that the organizational structure include attention to government relations, and I think there needs to be an executive director for this very, very important aspect of our work. And I would wish to add that as an amendment and trust that there's a second that will cause us to be more coordinated. The things that the CEO is requesting strike me as being very important, but if we wish to capitalize on the resources at the certainly the federal level, less so now at the state level, but certainly at the federal level, all we need to do is look at the map in terms of the amount of funding the Los Angeles area has been able to garner versus any number of other states or regions in the nation. It is in no small measure attributable to a lack of an effective coordinated effort in terms of our government relations, particularly as it relates to legislative advocacy and or lobbying. And so I think this is a matter of high importance for us. My observations over the 18 months that I've been here makes it clear to me that our work cries out rather loudly for such leadership and coordination, and I would respectfully offer this amendment in that spirit.
Okay. Second.
Second. Part of the discussion. Any other discussion on Supervisor Molina and Supervisor Antonovich and Supervisor Molina?
I think
you can punch a button, but I assume you're going to talk, right?
Well, this, the red light's on, so.
No, no, I got you.
Oh, okay.
I was on to.
I support Supervisor Willie Thomas's amendment, but I would like to see the whole item carried over. I have a very, very difficult time to rationalize the salary increases that are being proposed in this recommendation. I don't want this agency to become another bill. I don't want our agency to consider not consider the economic times that we're in. But when you have a salary increase that could go up $55,000, is in this climate, I don't feel is responsible. And I would like to have staff and our deputies be able to work and discuss this a little bit more and have it come back to the board next month.
All right. Let's see. Supervisor Molina.
I'll second that.
Okay, we got a substitute motion on to continue the item for to the next meeting. Yes.
I would join in that, and if we could get an itemization exactly of what people will be doing, this is just not clear enough in all of the process. I, too, would agree with the continuation.
All right. There is a motion and a, yes, Director Katz.
To include the amendment, that's, I support that.
Okay, Director Katz.
I support Supervisor Willie Thomas's amendment. That's not my question here. My question is to the CEO in terms of delays, recruiting. I know we came very close to losing a senior person that we were actively recruiting because this got dragged out for months and months and months in a public discussion. And I would also say that from my perspective, you know, more information is always good. I want to make sure there's no negative impact on the agency and our complying, because 30 days is another 30 days. With anything we need to do for the federal government or anybody else. The second piece of it is I don't have a problem with positions and salaries being made public. I think they should be. I don't think, though, that you know we need to put names by them in terms of who may or may not get a job. I think that the question is, does the position merit that kind of salary, yes or no? I think who gets hired, at least from my view, who gets hired is the purview of the CEO. I know that over a certain level it has to come to the board, but I think, you know, I don't want to be micromanaging who gets hired and who doesn't. I agree with the discussion on is it an appropriate salary for that position. But I have questions when it comes down to, you know, second guessing. You know, if we don't like what the CEO is doing, we always have the ability to fire him or her. So, you know, if somebody's unhappy and wants to make that motion, go ahead and make it. But I don't believe, I'm sorry, all right, maybe I didn't, I don't know if that's okay with you or not, but, you know, but I think though, you know, you hire a CEO because you think the person can do the job. If they can't do the job, and part of that job is hiring qualified men and women to fill the positions here. So,
remember, sure. this is only base salary. This does not include all the benefits. So you're talking over $300,000, and I know there are a lot of competent people who would be willing to work for a much less salary than that proposal. Again, look at the environment that we're in. We have over nearing 13% unemployment in our region alone.
Yeah. Okay. Director Rayleigh Thomas, did you punch again?
No, I punched.
Okay. Mr. Leahy.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the concern. There are really four recommendations here that are important that we advance on if we're going to achieve the goals outlined in Measure R. I would estimate it would take 90 to 120 days or longer to advertise and recruit the 20 requested positions. I would request that you approve those, and we can certainly come back at the next board meeting before those jobs are actually filled and report on whatever details might be desirable. As regards the program management position, same thing. This is essential to delivering the Measure R program. The structure that's been outlined puts us on a footing to begin to move the capital program. As regards the one pay upgrade, which is in this report, that recommendation is based on internal equity within the MTA. This is, I think, fair and appropriate. Obviously, if that is of concern, we can certainly come back and discuss that with you in more detail. But it would be our hope and request that the positions and the program management position be approved by the board so that we could commence the recruitment for those activities.
Okay. I have Director Fasana.
Just briefly, I support moving forward with the 20 positions. I think that can be separated out, and I think that's an important restructuring. I think we have to balance the equity within Metro with the current economic realities of what that future level should be. So I think that bringing that one item back is appropriate. I think item D, the scale seems better for that and allows us to move forward with D. So is the real issue here item B? Maybe it's bigger for some people. I'm okay with the other items other than B moving forward.
Okay. Director DuBois.
And I know the answer. I'm going to get to this because we did hire Art because we think he can do the job. We know he can. I'm just concerned that we not move forward with hiring people based on the belief that we're going to get 3010 money and then not do it. So I would ask that we be very deliberate in bringing any new people on board, not thinking we'll just shove them over here if it doesn't work. It's a real concern.
Absolutely. I share the concern. These positions are predicated on the assumption of Measure R, not 3010. But your cautionary words are noted and will be so guided.
So it's not, they're not based on an accelerated program?
And they're paid for by Measure R dollars?
Yes. These will be capital positions which are linked to the capital program and will have a life that links to that program.
Okay. All right. Director Weezer.
So the executive, you're recommending that we go forward with which items again?
Well, my recommendation is to do all of them. So we need the positions. If we're going to move the capital program, we need the program management. As regards the salary for the one position being discussed, I understand the concerns that are being expressed. I think, however, this is a fair salary. If it's not the amount recommended, then perhaps the board would set a different amount. I would note for you just a very important point. We are not out to hire competent executives. We are out to hire outstanding executives, which is a requirement if we're going to deliver one of the largest public works programs in the history of the country. Competence is not adequate for our objectives.
Thank you.
Okay. Director Robinson.
Yes, I just wanted to speak from the other side, from the city side and the staff side, in my support for having project management over these projects in Measure R, because, you know, the cost delays cost us so much more money than it would be to have people that are on top of these projects. And we've seen how those cost delays have eaten into other projects as we move forward. So even in the situation that we're in at the city, I'm also pushing the same agenda at the city level, that we have project management for Measure R in order to make sure that those projects get done on time and on budget and keep a seamless relationship with the MTA and Caltrans and what other agencies we need to. And at the same time, I also know that Washington is keeping a close eye on how well we're proceeding with our projects as we go forward. So as we look to more federal dollars, we want to be able to prove to them that we can get our projects done on time and make sure that we don't have a lot of delays.
Okay. Director Fasson?
Yes. You know, it's important to have projects ready in the pipeline. 3010 may happen. It may not happen. It may happen partially. We lose if we don't have things ready to go. I'd be willing to move a substitute motion to approve today items A, C, D, E, and the Ridley Thomas Amendment, with B coming back next
month. What?
All except B.
All except B. With the Ridley Thomas motion, it'll be approved today as well.
Okay. The first substitute motion, I got some public comments too. The first substitute motion was to continue the entire item to the next full board meeting, okay? So I think we have to take an action on the first substitute motion prior to taking action on this substitute motion. So let's... The second substitute motion by Director Fasana is to approve all items except D, as in Don.
B. Now, B as in boy.
B as in boy.
But to come back at the next meeting, correct?
B would come boy. Back at
yeah,
the next.
To the next meeting.
And including Director Ridley Thomas's motion, but both of these motions include your motion. So let's vote on the continuance for 30 days. I think you have to take the first substitute motion.
You always take the last one.
I don't. You can't. Yeah. Am I correct?
You're correct. Your procedure.
Okay. All right. Okay. The first item before us is a 30-day continuance on the entire item, including Supervisor Ridley Thomas's motion, with the first substitute motion. The second substitute motion that we're going to vote on, depending on the action here, I mean, obviously it's approved, it's not approved, is it Director Fasana's motion to approve all items except item B as in boy. All right, so for the 30-day continuance on the entire item, please cast...